If you would just bow your heads. Lord Jesus, without you, we can do nothing. With you, we can do all things. And through you, we will not fail. I ask that you would just release the grace that's needed on these words so that it may bring life to your people, not only those who hear over the internet, but as well as us and in our hearts. As I shared with you and pondered the reality of this piece of the puzzle that God was pushing in my face this morning about how we don't comprehend how God works. And we probably would use a shortbread instead of the long, lengthy one that he has allowed us to be seeing. The long arm of the law was an expression that we've used, and I think that it brought a lot of destruction, not only in the church, but in us. So I'd like to take you with me on a little journey this morning in John chapter 12. So that was the word that he was bringing me to. And he started working on me on John 12 early this morning, and I would like to kind of have you peek at the jealousy of the Pharisees. John chapter 12, verse 19 is the first one I want you to kind of focus on for a moment. It says, "So the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.'" I don't think that "him" could be written big enough in my Bible, because it would be their focus. He is our problem. And I'll be honest with you, Jesus is a problem for the church. Because Jesus is full of mercy and grace. People are full of the law. And the church is full of the law. I should say, the majority of the church. Okay? I can remember the excitement over watching God use the young man down in Florida. He doesn't fit the pattern. He's got piercings in his body. He's got tattoos. He doesn't match what the religious folks would say is an acceptable young man. And I believe God is going to do a lot more of that, so you better get ready. The reason for that is because he wants to baffle your wisdom. The same Jesus is doing the exact same thing that he did 2,000 years ago. He came on the scene without being born in the palace. And I believe the body of Christ that he's going to use is the parts of the body of his bride that are willing to lay themselves down and be used for his glory and not to be used to build themselves up. And I believe they're going to say, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." The church wants the people to go after the church. And he wants the people to worship the church and the people in the church, because they're so holy. And they are presenting themselves as holy and perfect in their own eyes. And the Lord is saying, that's not the way it's supposed to be. When he sent out the 12, were they perfect? How would you like a nickname, Son of Thunder? Would you have ever fit that name in your walk with the Lord? I would. What is a son of thunder? Making lots and lots of noise. And it's all about me. Been there. Done that. It's not God. Sounds like God. Smells like God. It's not God. Verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. And Philip went and tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. And Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground, or falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What does that mean? That means that if I love myself because I'm so holy in my own eyes, what's going to happen? If I love myself because I'm so holy in my own eyes, and I'm ready to cast out all those that don't fit my pattern of holiness, what's going to happen to me? I'm lost. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. See, the man who is acknowledging that he's full of sin, acknowledging that he can't control his own self, would sound very much like St. Paul in Romans 7. He would be full of all kinds of war games in his mind and in his body. He would be totally aware that sin is taking him for a ride quite often and doesn't like it. True or false? He sees his own weakness, and when he sees his weakness, he runs to Jesus and he says, I can't change me. Would you help me? And what does Jesus say to the one that's crying out? Would you help me? Will he excommunicate you? Will he throw you out because you're so holy? No. Jesus really says, the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Totally the opposite of religious doctrine. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Well, what is he when he's a servant of the Most High? When he's a servant of Jesus Christ, he's going to be full of compassion to the one that is thrown before him full of sin and caught in the act of adultery. And he's going to bend down again, and he's going to probably scribble in the sand waiting for God to say, what do I do with this one? How do I go forward with this one that's broken? And he might declare through that individual, if you've got no sin, go ahead, throw the first stone. Yes or no? Okay, so are you a servant of Jesus or are you a servant of the law? It's up to you. And if you did what I did, I wanted the law because the law had value in my eyes. It was powerful. It would definitely change people. And I couldn't even keep it myself. Guilty. I wanted to keep it. Couldn't do it. There was sin in me that was stronger than I was. And when I recognized that, that's when I found the lover of my soul. Because he didn't throw me out. He said, come. Verse 27. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No! It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then, a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And I'll tell you know what time I read this morning? 3:30 a.m. And guess what was happening? The whole family room shook. And I was excited. I said, Lord, are you talking again? He's been talking quite a bit with the thunder lately. Will I hear your voice in the thunder, Lord? Or will I be hearing your voice when someone is being accused and abused? Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said, it has thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus said, listen, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. Did you hear that? The prince of this world will be driven out. If you believe that statement, then you're not going to have a problem with any devils anymore. If you believe it. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Now, where's the problem? It's with me. It's me. It's the old flesh. It's what we've already learned is the Adam part of you and I. That's still giving us trouble. The flesh, the unbelief, the torment, the accusing forces, all those things are still pushing buttons to try to control us. And the Holy Spirit is saying, it's time you change it. Change it. Listen to what Jesus wants us. He says, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He didn't say, I'll draw them to others that look like me. But yet that's really what he was really saying, because he says the body of Christ is being established now in the earth. He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. So they did catch on afterwards. They didn't catch on right away. The crowd spoke up. We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. Sons of light have nothing to fear. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Hid himself from them. Why did he have to hide? Because he was irritating someone. He probably would have killed him and hanged him. I had a schedule. Because you see, if you look at the beginning of that verse, of that chapter, this was 6 days before his actual death. 6 days before the Passover. Isn't that cool? So you see, you're not going to be able to be destroyed by anybody. Nobody can put their finger on you because you belong to him. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
How about part-time? Huh? I'd like to have that full-time, but sometimes the enemy comes in and takes what? A little chunk out of us. Yes or no?
Yeah.
He takes it out of our thought pattern. He says, oh, you're vulnerable today. And you might be. And that's when I teased my friend last Thursday. I says, that's when you are not in your right mind. You're just having a problem with your thought patterns, okay? Now, I would continue reading all of that, but I would prefer that you really look at verse 36. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. And I began to look at the sons of light. The sons of light are those that are full of the light of Christ. They're full of compassion. They're full of mercy. They're full of grace. Now, I'd like you to kind of run a little bit ahead, okay? And look at verse 44. Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who has sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words, but does not keep them, I do not judge him." Is that clear? "I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save it." So the purpose of his coming is to bring salvation to those that are broken, to those that have fallen off, whatever their walk would be. "As for the person who hears my word, but does not keep them, I do not judge him." Just close your eyes for a moment. Say, "God, you didn't send your son to judge me. You sent him to save me. My job is not to judge, but to save those that are even more broken than me." Isn't that his commission to us? Verse 48. "There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day." So he's got plenty of time to make up his mind if he's going to take Jesus on or not. "For I did not speak on my own accord," verse 49, "but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it." The Father commanded me. That's an awesome commission. He commanded me what to say and then how to say it. Did you ever know what to say but come out from the wrong spirit? Like you'd like to bring correction, but your anger is like, How many have ever been there? Please put your hand up. If you've been there, repent. Okay? You might know what to say, but you're saying it from the wrong spirit. You're saying it full of anger, not full of compassion. And that's the job of Jesus. "I can't change me. Lord, I'm full of anger. I got to get rid of it. Please, I got to get rid of it. Please, I don't know how. Help me. Help me. I want to be filled with compassion, not anger, not resentment." How to say it is important. How to receive someone that's stuck in sin is important. How to love them because they've got a problem is important. Why was Jesus attracting the broken? Why did they run to him? Why did the prostitutes come to him? And I believe they were male and female prostitutes, because that's what they had that day. When you talk about Baal worship, that's what it is. The country was full of it, especially where Jesus was living. Galilee was right on the edge of the foreign nations, full of all kinds of garbage. In fact, anybody who lived in Jerusalem would not go to that north country. Why? Because it was full of what? Lusts of all types. So he wasn't acceptable to the city folks. After all, they were holy in their own eyes. That's why they couldn't stand him. Remember verse 19? "So the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.'" Why can't they stand him? Because he's full of compassion and mercy and grace. Verse 50. I know that his commands lead to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Just what the Father has told me to say. Our Father is to be visible in our character and our demeanor. He is to be heard in how we respond to others. We might be the only gospel they'll ever read. We might be the only Bible they'll ever look at. We just might be the reason why they may bow their knee someday and be saved. Did you come into this world to be a judge? Did you come into this church to be a judge? Did you come into the kingdom to be a lover? And please close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, I don't know how to love like you loved. Teach me. Take over my heart. Transform my inner man. And make me a lover. An unconditional lover. An unconditional, compassionate lover. So that I can be accused of being like Jesus. And maybe someday somebody will want to crucify me. In fact, they might have already tried. If there's a little bit more love in me, then healing will come to the nations. Amen. And amen. See, this word is intended to release you to grace. This word is intended to transform you from what you were to what you need to become. And this word was intended in my heart today to let you know that those who have been thrown out are the ones that we will vacuum up. Hold them close until they're healed. So if you've got somebody that's fallen off, they're thrown away, pour out love to them. Pour out compassion to them. That's what was in Jesus, and that's what needs to be in you and I. And may the anointing of the Holy Spirit continue to bless and refresh you as you go forth in this word. And remember, His mercy endures
forever.
His mercy endures
forever.
His mercy endures
forever.
I used to believe part-time. But it's not. It's forever.
Thank God.